My birthday was a couple of weeks ago. I also had a hospital stint where I was, and somebody gave me this birthday card, and it's very appropriate for today's lesson. Jesus is standing up there holding the fish and the bread, and here's the crowd standing in front of him. "I don't eat that. I'm a vegan," says one. "Has that fish been tested for mercury?" says another. "Is that bread gluten-free?" Well, anyway, the crowds are very attentive in this story. They listen, but the day drags on, and there's a restlessness in the air. Where will we get food for these people? The disciples discuss it. Finally, somebody says, "There's a boy here who has bread and fish," but that's not enough. There's something happens then. His generosity and willingness overcomes the greed and secretiveness of the crowd, and food appears from beneath robes, a little here, a little there. The boy had no idea when he left home that he would be the means for a miracle. It brings us to face the question, what really is a miracle? Is a miracle magic? Did the food keep growing and growing and expanding mysteriously? Maybe it was more like this. People had food secreted away and were waiting until the people dispersed, except they didn't disperse. People on that day look suspiciously at each other. "Anybody have food here?" asked a disciple. Then this young boy steps out of the crowd and shyly says, "I've got this bread and fish. I know that's not very much, but I could share." There's a movement in the crowd then, slowly, then increasingly, "I could share, I have bread." And before the day was over, everyone had enough, and there were even leftovers for the next day if they wanted it. Now, wasn't that the real miracle? Jesus is attentive to the needs of people. His compassion extends to the realization that they were hungry, and he had compassion and fed them. It only takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes to start a miracle. One person's kindness can go a long way. A few years ago, some friends were driving in the city. They drove by a park where there were numerous homeless people gathered. Their young daughter, who was about 4 at the time, asked about these people. Her mother answered, "Well, these people are homeless. They don't have a place to sleep, and they have nothing to eat." "Well, why don't we just feed them?" asked the daughter in her innocence. "Why don't we just feed them?" From the innocence of a little boy sprout the seeds of a miracle. Following the feeding of the multitude, we also have a story about Jesus appearing and walking across the water to the disciples in the boat. Now, you've all heard the rather funny story about this. One of the other gospel accounts says Peter wants to go out and meet Jesus, but he looks down at the water and he's afraid and he falls. The other addition to that story is Peter didn't know where the stones were. Maybe that's really not so far off what a miracle really is. What do we think a miracle should be? A supernatural event? Maybe it's more the ordinary people who are able to break down the walls of selfishness and greed and reach out and do random acts of kindness instead. We too often think of miracles as magic. Like, get out your magic twanger, plunk it, and there you go. Everything's right there. or maybe that Harry Potter has shown up with his magic wand. But it isn't always like that. There may be miracles, but many of them are really quite mundane. Jody Bell, a 6-year-old high school student from Greenwich, New York, has set up an online resource program to help kids who live in fear that their parents may be deported very suddenly. And sometimes that happens. The kids don't qualify for staying, the parents do, and they're separated. She gives them practical advice. Know who to contact for help. Know where the extra house keys are. Have ready copies of important papers and medical records. How to find legal help and financial assistance. She encourages youngsters to talk with their parents about these important matters in order to be prepared. It's a miracle at work. Now, in the past few months, Dr. Neil Goodman, my primary care doctor, was concerned about my low hemoglobin count. I'm sitting in his office, a routine physical, and he says, we got a problem here. Your hemoglobin count is very low. I want you to have another, we're going to go to Florida about that time, that day, in fact. And he said, I want you to have another blood draw. And if it's not better, you can't go. I go, oh, great. And so I had the blood draw, and it was a little better. But he said, you know, there is a problem. So you can go. When you get back, I'm going to check again. So that's what we did. And had some iron infusions, and still wasn't quite up to where it should be. So there was the sigmoidoscopy, the endoscopy didn't show anything. I couldn't have a colonoscopy because I had a hernia in the intestine. And so they did a colonography. And there it was, a suspicious mass. Not a Catholic mass, a suspicious mass. And so the surgeon that I talked with said, well, we better operate. And I thought, oh, I have never had a serious operation or injury. So this is something new for me. And so she did it. She took it out. And she said, well, here's the biopsy report. And it's not cancer. But there were precancerous cells in there. And if we had waited 6 months, it's quite possible it would have been cancer. So we are grateful for that. And it was just a large polyp. And I had the staples taken out Friday, fortunately. That was nice. I'm not sure it was so nice getting them out, but it was nice to have them out. And then there's the story of my sister-in-law. Bonnie's sister Sally was named a Chicago miracle when in 1995 she was exposed to the cold. Her body temperature was 82 degrees. And through the knowledge of a new procedure for warming the blood by a doctor new at St. Joseph Hospital in Chicago, she survived. And more miracles at work, they happen every day if we stop to see them. There's a song in the play Flower Drum Song. There's 100 million miracles happening every day. And as we think about the miracles, we also realize there are people who desire to be fed in different ways than food. When they feel alienated or forgotten, they're angry because they are afraid. They see a changing world. They're not sure what will come with it. And they are afraid. So they listen to the demagogues and perpetrators of fear, and happiness is a forgotten virtue. Anger becomes a weapon against those then who are different. So, Okay, so we have a challenge today, all of us. Will God work his miracles through you? Remember, I think a couple weeks ago I asked about to hold your hands up. Say, well, those are God's hands because you're going to be doing stuff for him. And if possible, to raise your feet up too. We decided to skip that because that was a bit of a challenge. Will you work to make lunches or deliver meals to those who need Meals on Wheels? Will you give an extra dollar to Manna Pantry? We have that down in Big Rapids. I don't know what you have up here. I'm sure you have something up here. Will you pray for the homeless? Will you teach someone to read? Will you tutor a student who needs help? Will you give someone a smile or a hug? And will you be part of the miracle? Now remember that little girl with her parents going past the homeless people. And in all innocence she says, "Why don't we just feed them?" That's what the little girl said. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.